Interesting story that we just heard in this gospel reading from Mark. It's called, usually referred to as, the story of the Transfiguration. It's a story of Peter, James, and John experiencing Jesus in a whole new way, a true mountaintop experience. There are so many in the scriptures where on a mountaintop folks experience the holy in different ways. And so Peter, James, and John experience Jesus on this mountain, oftentimes referred to as the Transfiguration. It's an interesting story. And it's interesting to think about why the gospel writers place these episodes from the life of Jesus where they are. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes we again, to remember that the stories of the gospels are not just some sort of chronological story about the life of Jesus, but these writers had various pieces of stories that had come to them through an oral tradition, and they placed them in some kind of order. And Mark's gospel today, as we know, of the four gospels that we have, was the first written. So why does Mark place this story of the Transfiguration where it's placed in the gospel? I'd like to offer some thoughts on that. Imagine you're someone who's never read the scriptures. Supposing you're reading the gospel for the first time, and in reading this story, you're discovering who this Christ is. You begin to read the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, which eventually leads to his suffering, his passion, death, and resurrection. As you're reading the story, as you get to the end, it could be a rather scary story. What's happening to this Jesus? But what Mark does is, before all that happens, before there's the passion and the suffering and the death of Jesus, Mark plops this story of the Transfiguration in the midst of his gospel before any of that happens. It's almost like a clue to the reader. You're about to read a part of Jesus' life that could be very disturbing. But before you get to that, know this. This is Jesus. This is the glory of God. This is God present in our midst. As Peter, James, and John had that experience, just know that as we walk through this. It's almost like a little hint at where the story is going to end. Does that make sense? Some scripture scholars, and they're in a minority, suggest that perhaps this transfiguration story is actually a post-resurrection story or a post-Easter story. Some scripture scholars suggest that this story we just heard of the transfiguration was actually something that happened after the resurrection. And Peter, James, and John come to experience this resurrected Christ in a new way. It's a minority opinion. Most scripture scholars don't necessarily agree with that. But still, it captures that idea of the authors trying to place this reading in a particular part of the story, a mountaintop experience. It's interesting, too, that as it's placed in that context in the scriptures, it's placed in that context in our liturgical year. We are now, today is the last Sunday of Epiphany. And next Sunday, it's Lent. Actually, Wednesday, it's Lent. And we begin this Lenten journey. I just find it interesting that as we enter into the Lenten season, to reflect on the renewal of our own baptismal covenant, our own engagement with the world, leading to the story of Holy Week, of Jesus' passion and death, and ultimately resurrection. Before all that happens, today we're given this story. It's almost like it's the end of a season showing forth the light of Christ, but it's also a hint of, just remember, this is the Christ who we are walking towards during Lent. That makes sense? As it's done in Scripture, it's done in our liturgical cycle. Peter, James, and John love this experience. They don't want to let go of it. Those mountaintop experiences sometimes can be rare in our lives. I hope you've had some kind of an experience like that. Maybe not literally on a mountain and seeing Christ in a light way, but perhaps in your own life you've encountered someone, there's been an event in your life, there's been something that has really touched you deeply, and you almost want to hold on to it. But what we find with Christ is whenever people have that experience, they're sent back into the world. Sometimes you want to hold on to that and stay with it, but Peter, James, and John are sent back into the world to engage with the world, to be part of the world, to transform the world, as they have experienced a transfiguration, calling forth the world to be transfigured. We need those experiences in our lives, but called to engage as we go forth. While Peter, James, and John want to stay on that mountain, Jesus is not calling them to withdraw from the world, but to engage with the world. I'd like to invite you, during this upcoming season of Lent, to take advantage of some of the opportunities here at St. Paul's that we're going to offer to reflect on that, to see how you can engage in your life in this world. As we gather here Sunday after Sunday, can't guarantee it's a mountaintop experience every Sunday, but as we gather together to have an experience through sacrament, through word and sacrament, but then going forth to engage. And some of the things we're going to be doing during Lent are going to offer some way of forming us in that. So let me give you a couple of examples. You can read these in the bulletin, but our Lenten series, our adult formation on Sundays, is going to have a theme to it throughout Lent. And I'd like you to take note of that. I'd like to shine a light on that as we walk forward into Lent. The theme is going to be, you know, loving our neighbor near and far. How do we engage with one another? How do we engage with folks beyond our own faith community, within the midst of our world? And next Sunday, we're going to welcome Dr. Luke Bretherton from Duke. He's a professor at Duke. And his topic is going to be, I have notes here, make sure I get this correct. The topic is going to be Healing Babylon, Faithful Politics in a Time of Division. Pretty timely topic. And we've heard Luke Bretherton speak to the, he's given two clergy conferences to all the clergy in our diocese. And he offers this, he's worth hearing. It's almost like the word politics has been hijacked from us. And it has a negative connotation. What politics really is about is something grand. It's about how we as a people engage with one another to bring about a common good. How we come together and work together to enable all of us to flourish in our lives, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. How we do that together. And so we as a faithful people need to be engaged in that. Engaged in that conversation. Engaged in that dynamic. As we look to change our world around us and impact our neighbors. So Javier had some classes with him as well, and we heard him at our clergy conference, someone well worth listening to. So I invite you to come next Sunday. If it's not your regular practice to come to adult formation, invite you to come. I think it would be well worth it during this season of Lent. Then the following Sunday, we're going to have another guest speaker who is also from Duke. It's kind of a Duke bias here, I guess, Divinity area. The topic will be Old Testament prophets and our neighbors. Looking at the Old Testament prophets and how what impact their life was on the world around us. And we have Molly Williamson, who is a PhD candidate from Duke, who'll be facilitating that session. And then the following Sunday, on March 11th, we're going to have a topic on from another faith tradition, the Talmud and our neighbor. And Rabbi Ariel Edery will join us to speak about the Talmud and that idea of how we interact with our neighbor. How do we interact with our world? How do we go beyond ourselves and make a difference? As Peter, James, and John came down that mountaintop and made a difference that is one of the reasons we're here today. Those folks went forth into the world and brought about this Jesus message and changed their world. So invite you to do that. And then on March 18th, Javier will be presenting a series on Absalom Jones, who some of you may know was the first African-American priest in the Episcopal Church out of the great city of Philadelphia, which has been risen ranks from last week's Super Bowl, but from the Diocese of Philadelphia many, many years ago, and an incredible, incredible story. So Javier will be offering a class on that. I'll also be offering a session during the adult formation time, too, on this topic, yet to be titled, but I'll be offering as well. One other area I'd like us to I'd like to invite you to consider. I'm really giving some action items here of how to go about doing this, ways that we're offering to you. A few of us over the last year and a half have been engaged in conversations, particularly with the other clergy of Cary. As you know, many of us get together once a month for breakfast, and it's called the Cary Area Ministerial Association. And we've been chatting about how we can work together in the town of Cary. And that conversation has really led us beyond Cary to Wake County. How can we collaborate with other faith communities in the Wake County area to, in a sense, enable the life of all of us who live in Wake County to flourish? How can we help with that? How can we impact that a bit? And so some of us have been meeting for the last year and a half with clergy from other faith communities to come to know one another, to be in relationship with one another. Our last charge was to call a clergy person we've never met, don't know, and invite them to kind of get together for coffee or lunch, trying to see how we can come to know each other, and then our faith communities coming together to know each other and to work together towards this kind of a dream. How can we organize ourselves as a faithful people around things we want to address and work on? We haven't necessarily identified what those specific items need to be, but the work is really about how can we make an impact on our life together as a community here in Wake County that can make a difference for all of us. So, for instance, we may be accustomed to helping those who are hungry. We do a lot with that in our parish. We do a lot with that. And we support organizations that do that, Urban Ministries being one of them, Dorcas Ministry, Urban Ministry, the main one. But another question is, how can we work in a way that people don't come to be in need of food? If we help people who are homeless in our community, oftentimes through my discretionary fund, I'm helping people who are in really tough situations here in Cary. What can we do as a people that help people not be led to homelessness? You know what I'm saying? How can we engage with that? So this is something that I know Javier and I have been working on a lot in the last year and a half. And what we're doing now is inviting the parishes to come together. We have about five or six parishioners here at St. Paul's who engage in some of this work. And during the season of Lent, interestingly, we're going to invite people to come together for more information on this kind of work. And we're going to have three sessions. We'll give you information about that at a later time. But on March 12th, we're going to offer a Cary First Christian Church. On March 15th, St. Ambrose in Raleigh. On March 17th, Baptist Grove Church. There are going to be three sessions, and you're only invited to one of them, to come together and hear more about this, learn more about this. And our hope is on April 19th to gather together about 300 to 400 people from Wake County faith traditions who are looking to work together to make a difference in Wake County. I have a lot of energy around this. I know the clergy we've been working with have a lot of energy around this, and parishioners who have engaged in this have a lot of energy around this. I think for many of us at St. Paul's, this may be the next step in our outreach ministry, in our social ministry, to help create a way that some things don't even happen in the first place. Is that, you know what I'm saying? So we'll tell you more about that. But that's a Lenten experience that you can engage with. And then, of course, during the season of Lent, we'll have a Eucharist on Wednesdays at noon and 7 p.m., noon and 7 p.m., with a study of the Scriptures from that following Sunday to engage us and feed and nourish us. I invite you to a Holy Lent. Well, it's one of my favorite prayers in the Ash Wednesday service. And I want to give this kind of prelude to really focus on this Lent and offer you, wherever you are in your faith journey, ways that we can come down from the mountain. We can come down from our own experiences of life here at St. Paul's, go forth into this community, being a resource, being a way of gathering with others, collaborating together, and making a difference by adult formation, learning to be formed, and by some of the actions we're looking to engage with as we go forth this year.